As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40. Period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 Thursday, April 24th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the WBBM Business Hour. I'm Judge Richards in for Rob Hart today. Though the report on home sales in March reveals a market slowdown, we'll cover that in our next segment. But first, the NFL Draft, now a major television event and is big business for the league and advertisers. Fans in Chicago are eagerly awaiting the Bears' pick. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, we're joined by Josh Lisch, WBBM Sports Director and Morning Sports anchor. Josh, thanks for sticking around for a few minutes. So let's begin here. A lot of rumors around the Bears possibly trading up for a high-profile running back. Is that what we're hearing?
Boise State running back Ashton Gentry is really popular, and he's got a very, very interesting story to tell. In fact, he boldly declared himself, Gentry, that it's tackle football. I draft the guy that can't tackle. So that sort of helped his profile a bit. Most mock drafts have the Bears going offensive line or maybe edge rusher. They'd probably have to draft up from the number 10 spot in round one to get their hands on Gentry, who's become more popular since those bold comments.
All right, so if they did draft according to need, what direction could we expect the Bears to go at number 10?
It looks like most speculation shows at least 3 or 4 offensive linemen rated inside the top 10. Missouri's Armand Membu, LSU's Will Campbell, Texas's Kelvin Banks, or Ohio State's Josh Simmons. That could plug a need for a good 5 to 10 years at the offensive tackle spot. Bears also need help at edge rusher. Abdul Carter of Penn State, too rich. Just like Gentry, they'd have to trade up to get him.
Yeah, no doubt. So we know GM Ryan Poles still there. Matt Eberflus is not. This is new head coach Ben Johnson's first opportunity. Ben Johnson comes over from Detroit, certainly recognized as an offensive mind because of that offensive brilliance. Should we expect it to be an offensive player at number 10?
I think because of that specifically, the Bears are likely, if in position, to draft Penn State tight end Tyler Warren, who's rated to go inside the top 10, and there the Bears sit at number 10. There haven't been any trades. Warren isn't just a pass catcher or a blocker. He's also got a number of handoff carries and threw a half dozen passes as a tight end at Penn State. The gadget guy Tyler Warren may just be the perfect pick for Ben Johnson's first year.
Should we expect the cost of real estate in Green Bay to skyrocket after being on full display tonight and over these next 3 days of the NFL draft?
Green Bay Packers hosting the draft for the first time. It just means that the next draft in Green Bay is that much farther away.
Yeah, so how about that? Josh, good stuff. Appreciate it. There is Josh Liss. Again, the Bears, they have the number 10 overall pick in the upcoming draft. Hey, coming up, why a correction may be coming to the housing market.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, home sales last month hit their slowest pace since 2009 as high mortgage rates and economic concern cool the spring housing market. Joining us to discuss just that is Steve Kerr, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. Steve, great to talk today. Let's begin here. A lot of Chicago neighborhoods remain highly priced. Is the city finally due for a housing market correction?
Well, according to the most recent data, the answer would have to be no. Unlike the national numbers, in the city of Chicago itself, home sales actually went up slightly in March, and inventory went down almost 15%. So at the same time, the median home price has gone up over 6% year over year. That's an awfully strong seller's market for the city of Chicago, and with that low in inventory, I wouldn't be looking for any kind of price relief in the city for some time to come.
Yeah, Steve, you mentioned it. How are higher mortgage rates impacting spring buying activity in the city and the suburbs?
So it seems like most places outside of the city of Chicago, the mortgage rates, which ticked back up again in March after being down in February, that is having some sort of effect in dampening the sales. But more importantly, I think, is just the consumer confidence, which is really down quite a bit. And remember, all these March numbers we're getting for home sales and prices, that's before the so-called Liberation Day blow up in the stock and bond market. So that has done nothing to give consumers any more of a confidence boost. And when you're buying a house, that's where you really need confidence in the future of the economy.
We're joined by Steve Kerr, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. So, Steve, is rising inventory in Chicago creating more opportunities or just exposing affordability gaps?
Well, the inventory is still historically low. So we would have to see, quite a lot more homes come on the market before we would get to any kind of balanced market in which buyers would have a better chance to negotiate. So, no, I mean, the answer is simply there's just not anything right now that's going to make homes more affordable for the vast majority of people who might want to get in the market.
How big of a problem is affordability in the Chicago area specifically?
Well, we're looking at record high home prices. You're looking at mortgage rates that are still stubbornly close to 7%. And folks may be more worried about their job or the future just of their stocks that are going up and down so wildly of late. All of that just doesn't bode well for people getting into this market.
Steve, finally, what should Chicago home buyers and sellers expect heading into the peak real estate season?
So we're still going to wait to see what the effects of all the volatility in April have been. Most of the experts are still predicting a fairly flat market. So don't expect to see sales jump. Don't expect to see a big rise in inventory, and expect to see home prices continue to rise throughout this season.
Steve, thanks so much for your insight. That's Steve Kerr, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. Coming up next, it's time to be on alert for lawn and garden-related scammers.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
With temperatures warming in May just around the corner, homeowners are turning their attention to their yards. However, they need to be aware of lawn and garden-related scams. Let's get a heads up from Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau right here in Chicago. Steve, thanks for your time today. Let's start with this. What kind of scams are we seeing this time of year?
Well, thank you, Justin, for having me on today. The Better Business Bureau Scam Tracker always reports these types of problems each year. What we're seeing this year is a season of, lawn care, people paying for lawn care services up front, really only to find out the scammer has then vanished and can't be found after they give them the money. So be careful of anybody just coming up to your door unannounced, uninvited, and saying they have this great deal because they happen to be in the neighborhood and they give you this contract. Some of them do and some don't. And sometimes people don't read those contracts, what it entails, and it's like a recurring payment. You got to keep paying for these services throughout the summer, and you don't know who you're actually dealing with and if they're a scammer or a bad business.
Steve, what are the most common red flags that indicate a contractor or landscaper may be running a scam?
The key is that right away they want you to think about hiring somebody else. They want you to make payment today or sign a contract today without doing your due diligence. You never sign a contract without doing your homework on that organization. Check with the Better Business Bureau and other sources. And never pay up front cash, and especially cash, and without reading the contract. Because sometimes the contract, you know, the big print giveth and a little print taketh away. And what I mean by that is they got these, all these provisions and these extra charges that you don't realize that you're agreeing to by signing that contract, only to find out they're a bad business or they're just really taking money from you and not providing the services that they promised.
What specific steps does the Better Business Bureau recommend to avoid being defrauded by those unsolicited driveway or landscaping offers?
The key is always checking the background of the company. I think people don't spend the time necessary. They do all their work at the end trying to figure out, you know, that they've been duped, and they realize they have been duped. They should have done all the work ahead of time before signing up with these offers. You know, check the Better Business Bureau website at bbb.org, but check to see if they have other reports elsewhere, that they're established, that they're licensed. And you never do business with somebody who walks up your door the first time. You got to do your due diligence. You want two or three bids on that job and finding out what's out there and what others offer and if they're similar prices and or not.
Steve, it's funny you mentioned walking up to your door. I tell my mom, don't even open the door. Don't talk to anybody. Do you see them targeting older clientele?
They do. They tend to target the elderly, the people that are actually home. A lot more people are home, working from home, as opposed to years ago. So the availability of people answering doors is better than it was in the past. But yes, they always seem to target the elderly, and they always use the trick that they happen to be down the street. That your neighbor loves us, wants us,
yep.
And they can do the kind of thing and give you a discount if you sign today.
Steve, good stuff. Read the fine print. Check the Better Business Bureau before you agree to offer up any sort of money. That's Steve Burness, President and CEO, discussing watching out for scammers, especially as we head into gardening season. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, tracking the next generation of wearable devices.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, stocks are trading higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management there in Orlando. Gary, happy Thursday to you. Let's begin right here. We've seen a lot of volatility lately, but markets have rebounded from recent lows. Have we seen the worst of it, or is there more downside ahead?
I think it'll be very tough to break the crash lows from a few weeks ago. And actually, Monday, we put in another low, which was at what I call a higher low at a higher price. I think that may be pretty darn good support now. And there's a simple reason why. Our country, our president is coming off the tariffs. And the more they do that, the better. Everybody's talking trade deals. I'm talking tariffs. Trade deals, if we get them done, terrific. I think that's small potatoes. The big potatoes are the tariffs, and if we can get rid of those, that would be just fine. I think the market, I don't know if we'd be off to the races, but I think it can do better.
Gary, what is the biggest threat to financial markets right now?
If they go back on the crazy tariffs. what you have to remember is that is a tax on business and a tax on the consumer, and there's no way we can take it. Plus, the continual changing of the tariffs. And again, if we just get that out of our way, I think we're in good stead. The people of this country will go back to work. The businesses of this country will do good things with technological advancements and medical breakthroughs. But it's something that we've got to get rid of. And let me just tell you what's been happening recently. Amazon was stopping deliveries. The ports of L.A. imports were down markedly because of them. And I think they saw the writing on the wall when they met with Home Depot and some other big box retailers that there were going to be shortages, which would have forced prices up. And there comes inflation. And last but not least, as they've been seeing their poll numbers on the economy, they've been heading south big time. So I think they finally have realized, and the president has realized, that they've got to do better, and so far so good, and let's hope that continues that way.
We're joined by Gary Kaltbaum of Kaltbaum Capital Management. Check him out at GaryK.com. Gary, what areas do you find cheap on the market right now?
It's not a matter of cheap. I talk strengths. I always look for stocks that did not go down with the market. And I can tell you that Netflix is the first stock to break out to all-time highs. While most things are still down 20 to 30%, I'm looking at things like a Take-Two Interactive. With earnings and sales are going to accelerate going forward. That's breaking out of range today. So if investors really want to see the good stuff, just look at the new yearly high list going forward. If the market improves, more and more names will show up, and that's going to be your strength. And also, we're now in earnings season. Go find those companies that are growing earnings 50% plus and have good reaction to earnings, and you probably got some winners going forward. And just keep in mind, right now, we're in the midst of earnings season, so I'm working 2 hours earlier and 2 hours later every day right now.
A major stock market theme tends to emerge each year, Gary. What do you think will define the markets in 2025?
A comeback if they get rid of the tariffs. Big indices have been down into the almost May right now. And I foresee we can be up this year. But again, I can't say this loud enough. We've got to get rid of what I call a big blockade. And I think the market has a big mouth, and I think it's been screaming at them, and I think they're finally starting to listen, and I think that is good news. So I would not be surprised if we hear more and more of tariffs going away, that the market continues higher. You're hearing some more of that today, and you see you're having another strong day.
If I had gold, I would sell it. Gary, what are your thoughts on precious metals?
If the market goes up, I think gold probably pulls back. But I got to tell you, that is a big bull market. I don't know I would cut a big bull market short. Again, I think traders can probably do some selling here, but I would not be surprised if it's higher 1 year down the road.
Always enjoy your conversations. Thank you, Gary. That's Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. Check him out at GaryK.com. Up next in Technology Thursday, how wearable devices are making a greater impact on everyday life.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Okay, it is Technology Thursday. More amazing tech is being incorporated into wearable devices. I say that with my Apple Watch on right now. Let's find out about some of the latest developments with Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show there in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, great to chat yet again. All right, so wearables are slowly gaining traction in our daily lives. Do we know really how many people are already kind of doing this in their daily life, that their technology is on their body?
Sure. To pick a number and your Apple Watch, literally millions. But it depends. You know, really, wearable technology is, you have to define it to decide when it really began. And there, you know, wearable technology includes things like eyewear. Eyewear, basically prosthetics for eyes that are failing. And obviously, those have been around forever. So that is by one definition, wearable technology. But what we're all obviously thinking about more modern stuff. I think one of the most seismic events in world and wearable technology was Google Glass, which was introduced in 2014. 2012 it rolled out, but 14 it sort of became widely available. And then they did a Glass Enterprise Edition and stuff like that. So basically, the goal was there to wear a pair of glasses, obviously, that would allow you to browse the internet and using some basic eye movement to be able to take a look at information just through a device, a prosthetic that's just sat on your nose. So that technology has been around, but now it's exploded, to your point. Smart contact lenses that can monitor biomarkers in the eye, potentially diagnosing ophthalmic problems or metabolic problems. Wearable sweat sensors that track sweat composition, which can give doctors insights into hydration levels, electrolyte balance, you name it. So basically, and where it's headed, of course, is not about wearability so much as it is about accuracy and reliability. And that's what we see in the future for sure.
Yeah. Paul, you know, what's interesting about my Apple Watch is I actually find that when I wear it, especially around the house, I don't need my phone on me. Because if I get a work text or email or something, I have my watch. I don't have to check my phone regularly. So I feel like I do a little bit of less tech because of the tech that I have on my body.
That's exactly right. In fact, I think you've put your finger on something really important. What wearable technology allows you to do is to leave most of the other technology behind.
Right.
And I'll give you an extreme example is wearable technology that's actually in your body. Now, that's obviously been sort of a pipe dream of people, you know, put a little chip in your head and take cell phone calls through your ear, you know. But it's here and now in some hip, knee, and shoulder replacements. Are analog devices. Obviously, they're plastic and metal, and if somebody needs a knee replacement or a hip replacement, it gets put in the body, and then the body gets closed up. But now there are lots of companies, including a company called Zimmer Biomet. Stryker is a competitor. They do the same thing, and they have NFC, near field communications, in the knee that allow via Bluetooth allow the person who holds a cell phone like your watch to put it near the knee after it's been installed, and that information gets sent to the doctor, who can then decide whether or not that knee is doing well and whether or not the patient is doing well. So the technology in that case that was left behind was the doctor. So in that case, somebody can be almost anywhere, and wirelessly that information is transmitted to the physician or the diagnostician, and lo and behold, the patient can have his or her joint health monitored from afar. So that's another example of leaving that technology behind with wearable tech.
Yeah, put that in my body if it means I have to go to the doctor less. That sounds perfect. We're talking with Paul Hochman about wearables, meaning these wearable electronic devices. So, Paul, is that really the next stage? What you just explained, is there you know, a big popular item that I don't even know about that's next around the corner?
Short answer is yes. And by the way, because it's in pursuit of that very thing you were talking about earlier, which is the miniaturization of this technology, leaving most of the other stuff behind, and where it seems to be headed. And by the way, where it's headed is integration with existing healthcare systems, for example, which we just talked about, interoperability, so different systems can talk to each other. One of the concerns, though, in the going forward is data privacy and security. I mean, in the example of that knee replacement, great that that doctor can monitor. Say you live in a very rural area, and the doctor can find out very quickly if you have a problem and you need to come in, instead of you having to go in a lot. However, is that data safe? Is that information, that health information, which is very closely protected, is that something you're worried about getting out? Well, that's a challenge too. So with these advances come some setbacks, and that's what we're seeing. But again, it's really advancing quickly.
Paul, thanks so much. Fascinating conversation about these wearable devices and where we're heading, even with some perhaps inside your body. That was Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech hitter for the Today Show. Coming up next, join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come, exploring an increase in tipping fatigue.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Okay, the post-COVID world includes confusion and at times debate over when and how much to tip. Well, that is a big discussion. Let's do it now. We welcome Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality right here in Chicago, to help us discuss this one. Doug, thanks for joining us today. So there used to be generally accepted guidelines for tipping at restaurants, but things have changed in the past few years. What caused this consternation?
Well, I think, Justin, what's happening is that there's a change in dining habits. As we're entering, as some may say, a change in the economic environment, people are ordering less. In addition to that, they're substituting, for instance, beef for chicken. But also what's happening, too, is that you're getting all these different prompts is when you go into almost every type of restaurant environment, asking individuals to tip anywhere from what I've seen from 10% all the way up to 35%. So there are a lot of different variables that are happening and the confluence is all at once here.
And how about this, Doug? So nowadays, oftentimes because of technology, your server is standing right next to you, or sometimes they're standing over you with a mobile device for payment. That can be a little intimidating to diners. Can this be avoided?
Well, the technology is there with that individual. Certainly, you can give whatever gratuity that you feel like giving, but it is intimidating. And certainly, you don't want to create, obviously, a tiff between yourself and the server. And as a result, you're almost obligated to give sometimes more than you want to give. And that's a problem in itself.
Are there any tipping rules for carryout counters?
Well, I think that carryout is changed too. I mean, when a person goes and gets a bottle of water and hands it to you, do you feel that's worthwhile in giving a gratuity? Probably not, or maybe 5% or somewhere in that vicinity. But if you actually see the individual working to put the order together, and most importantly, is creating a great dialogue between yourself and showing hospitality, then I'm saying 15% is probably the right number.
Doug, is there one that you found where it's like, okay, this is, we've gone too far?
Well, the one thing that I find difficult, and a lot of people don't tip on that, is the surcharges. Everything from the surcharge for your credit card and the surcharge for the health and benefit of the employees. Now wait a minute. Who's working for who here? Am I going to be paying your benefits at BBM? No. So, I mean, BBM's going to pay them. So why isn't the restaurant, I just don't get this. Why isn't the restaurant paying for those benefits? Charge me 3% more on a chicken or a steak, but I don't want to feel that I'm paying necessarily for the benefits.
Right. Doug, great stuff. The way I look at the tipping thing, especially if it's Starbucks or whatnot, is it's okay if you want to ask. And it's also okay if I decline to do so. That's Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality right here in Chicago. Hey, if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and on the Odyssey app.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.